So the meeting is called What is a Social Centre? And we're going to talk just a little bit about what a social centre is, and then talk about specifically in Sheffield what's happening, what has happened in the past, what's happened with the current Sheffield Social Centre Collective, and future plans for that collective, and then kind of open it up. So we'll just say a little bit and then open it up for a discussion. So in terms of what a social centre is, I mean, maybe people here have got experience of social centres in Sheffield or in other places, and so you've got kind of a general idea. But for those who haven't, then the idea of a social centre is that it's an autonomous space where it's a self-organised space. So it's a physical building where people can get together, meet collectively, organise activities, plan things together, agitate, inspire, create, and just hang out and socialise. So the idea is that people get together for collective endeavours, which obviously isn't a new idea, and people have been doing it in different ways, whether it's community gardens, provision of cheap food, people getting together for film showings, organising outside of the mainstream. And in the 60s, that was like kind of those sort of projects grew in large numbers. And some of the social centres that are going today have been going for quite a long time. Like the 1 in 12 social centre in Bradford, is that opened in 1981, and that's still going strong today. Other social centres last for shorter periods of time. Some are squatted, some are bought, some are rented. That's something we could talk about, the pros and cons of each of those. The politics of social centres will vary. They tend to be like organised on non-hierarchical lines, with the emphasis on self-organisation, supporting different radical groups that might be anti-capitalist, anarchist, tend to be libertarian kind of projects and activities that go on. And within the social centre, there's scope for lots of different things to happen. So a lot of social centres will have a cafe, will have a library, an info shop, meeting space, a place for gigs, a place for parties. There'll be, for longer running ones, there can be ongoing things like lots of social centres run English lessons for non-English speakers, bike workshops, kids' activities, art spaces in different kinds of forms. And above all, they are, you know, spaces for the social, spaces to offer some kind of refuge and alternative to mainstream capitalist relations, in as much as we can, given that we're operating within capitalism. But just to get out of the glare a little bit and find a kind of a space to recharge, so act as a resource centre. So social centres can be both like a means to an end, providing resources for political projects and social projects to go from that space, and also an end in itself, so an experiment in collective living and collective organisation, and a way of learning about the challenges that that brings. So a little glimpse of an alternative that could be out there. Do you want to add anything to what social centres are before we go on about the specifics?
Not really. I think what I'd kind of emphasise about it is just the aspect that, you know, it's like, it is like kind of putting our ideas into practice to an extent, and it's kind of like creating a space where we can experience those politics in action, you know, which you can't always do. Well, it's very hard to do generally, just kind of like everyday life in our society. So for me personally, that's probably one of the most exciting things about that. And just the opportunities it kind of offers to, for people to kind of come across those politics and see what they actually mean in practice. So, yeah, that's what I'm really saying about that.
So, there's been a growth in social centres in the UK and Ireland over probably the last decade, a lot associated with the anti-capitalist movement. And indeed there was in Sheffield a long-running squatted social centre which was called Matilda's, which lasted from 2005 to 2006, which began as a convergence space for the protests against the G8. And some of you may have passed through there or been involved with that. And then since then, there's been a number of short-lived squats, as indeed there was before, and there were other social centres before Matilda's as well. There was a rented centre that called the Red and Black Club that lasted for about a year. But mostly they have been fairly short-lived, and then a collective came together last year that was kind of hoping for something a bit more than that. Maybe you can say something a bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. Well, what I'll start talking about is just like well, the history of this current project that's going on now. It kind of sort of kicked off probably like June last year, I think. That's when we had the first meeting, and there was only a few of us initially, but we all pretty much had a general kind of sort of anarchist viewpoint. That was kind of what was informing our politics, and a real feel kind of based on being like inspired by spaces like the Sumac and in Nottingham, and the Commonplace in Leeds, that we wanted a place in Sheffield, and that we really felt that there was a need for that. And so, yeah, that's kind of the basis on which we started. But I think, yeah, well, we kind of decided that we wanted to squat a place. That was kind of what we were, initially at least, possibly leading to something more long term. But as a kind of experiment to see how we kind of how it worked out, we thought we'd squat a place. And it wasn't until it took a while to organise, and we did a lot of kind of scouting of buildings and things, trying to find an appropriate location. And in October last year, we set up a squatted social centre in the Piscar House. I don't know if anyone here actually went to that. I know a couple of people did. It was kind of posh squatting, really. It was a beautiful building, and it had running water and electricity and
carpets,
barely any damage whatsoever. And like, it was a massive building as well. It was like an old university music department building, but it was like an old manor house kind of before that. So you can imagine how fucking nice that was. It's pretty sweet, really. And we were there for a week, and then we got evicted out of that. And we moved to a second place on Northumberland Road, which was an old children's hospital building. And I think, well, we kind of made two like big mistakes with our kind of squatting, really. We took on probably two of the biggest kind of corporate groups in Sheffield, the university being the first one and the NHS being the second one. And they had a lot of pull with the courts and stuff, and we were kicked out pretty quickly. A week with the first one and a week in the second one as well. And the first time, a couple of us actually got landed with £20,000 worth of court costs, which has been dropped now, fortunately, but for a while at least, that was pretty scary. A number of kind of issues came up with the whole squatting thing. I think particularly when we got kicked out the first time and we moved into the second one, a lot of kind of momentum was lost, and a lot of people sort of got burnt out, a little bit disillusioned, and scared by the fines as well. And just there was only kind of a core group of people who were left doing it and sort of holding the building, and that just got really, really tiring really quickly, because you can't just put a key in the door and leave at the end of the day, So when we were eventually kicked out of that one, we kind of felt, that's what we want to be able to do, really, kind of just have our own space that we're not going to get evicted from in like a week, and just be able to lock up at the end of the day, and just makes it a lot easier on individuals. But I guess also we were just kind of looking at the likes of the Sumac and the Commonplace and that, and thinking like in kind of long term, really. And wouldn't it be fantastic to have a space that's going to be in like 10 years time that has kind of built up a radical community around it, and like the Sumac has and like the Commonplace has, and where that's very much the direction we're kind of moving in at the moment. We're looking to not so much renting a place, because there's kind of issues with landlords and stuff then that kind of come up, but we're looking to buy a place at the moment, and it's, you know, it's a big ambition, but other groups have done it, and it is possible to do. We really feel like we could do that. We could like really sort of make a massive contribution to the radical scene here. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at the moment. We have a collective of about 10 active people at the moment, I would say. 10-15 active people, and you know, it kind of fluctuates, but it's generally around that kind of number. But if we want this to be successful, we're going to need a lot more than that, because you know, you can't run a project like that long term with just that number of people. You need, I don't know how many you need really, but I reckon quite a few more than that. It's partly why we're holding this meeting now. I gave some flyers out at the start. We've got a meeting coming up Monday, this coming Monday actually. So our next organising meeting. So if anyone's around for that, that'd be really good to see you guys. You know, I think this is a really exciting project, and I think it could go some really great places. So good to see you guys there. As much as I can.
No, more might come up in the discussion if people want to ask any particular questions about what has happened or future plans as well. The collective's, you know, trying to do other things as well as the longer term project of buying, maybe some shorter term projects as well, fundraising events, kind of social events as well. Working together as a group. But are there any specific questions that people have around what has been said? Yeah.
How much are you expecting to allow emerging properties to arise? So things that weren't expecting, things that you not necessarily even like, but aren't necessarily about goals. How much room will you give for those things to thrive?
You mean if like an opportunity arose, is that what you're suggesting?
Or self-organising systems, when they're together, create emerging properties, which are properties that aren't expected, you don't expect them to come. So when you're organising, for example, things might start happening, start thriving, but you might not have expected that or even wanted that. And I'm asking how much room you're going to give that sort of thing.
Yeah, sorry, I think I misunderstood the word properties there. I thought you were talking about physical properties.
No.
But you mean like, you know, when the whole project goes in a different direction. Well, I mean, certainly at the moment, it is totally open-ended. You know, we're discussing all possibilities and eventualities, and then any kind of ongoing project evolves and changes over time, and that's something where as a collective that you deal with issues as they come up, and opportunities as well as, you know, constraints and problems, and you deal with them collectively and as the circumstances, you know, arise at the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's good to try and foresee certain things, I think, if you can, and you know, I think that's partly why it's a good idea to, like, you know, get in touch with other social centres and see what things came up for them. But yeah, to an extent, I think you do have to play it by ear. I think that's something I have learned from speaking to those different centres.
Yeah. Over the last few years, there's been kind of quite a lot of debate in the movement with regard to the pros and cons of squatted social centres and rented or bought social centres. And my personal take on it is that I think it's a mistake to see it as an either-or situation. A lot of times sometimes you hear people saying, we only want to see squatted social centres, and other times there are people who say, oh, we only want to have a rented or a bought one. But I mean, I think practically and ideally, we actually need to do both. And I think we need to do both because, as has been seen from the last two social centres in Sheffield, the Sheffield political establishment will not tolerate political squatting in this city. And I'll come down on it very heavily, very fast, and it's not even clear that the speed at which they acted was legal. And it's not clear what's going on behind the scenes. It's not clear if it's a, you know, bunch of masons making a decision somewhere or what. It's not very clear how the Sheffield political establishment works. but you know, it might be like that. So in terms of squatted ones, I think squatted ones can work, like the one last weekend, the Temporary Autonomous Arts one, down on Savile Street, that was just for kind of 4 days. And there's lots of advantages of doing squatted ones, that you don't have to worry about health and safety, you don't have to worry about complying with an awful lot of laws that are kind of really expensive to comply with, and you can just kind of do stuff a lot free. You have a lot more freedom to do stuff that you can't do if you're doing it all legally. But you know, our experience shows that in Sheffield, at least, that kind of only works for short-term things. And I think it'd be really good to have a long-term space as well that is secure, and we aren't going to get chucked out of, you know, any time, and so that we can put in other bits of kind of infrastructure there. But it also has disadvantages. You know, you have to comply with the law. You have to, there's all the health and safety stuff, and it ends up, I mean, if you end up kind of doing a cafe or a bar in order to fund it, and then and if it's all done with voluntary work, it ends up being an awful lot of work for people. And the one that there was a few years ago in Manchester, the basement, it got ended up that there was a flood and it got shut down. But before that happened, there was there's a lot of people getting very kind of tired from all the work of running the cafe, and there was a lot of work. And then there was also issues with it around. At one point, they were looking at getting grants from some organisations around doing childcare. So suddenly, all the members of the collectives had to get CRB checks. And, you know, it's like, you know, maybe that was going a bit too far. But, you know, in Sheffield, we'll have to discuss these issues. You know, how... You know, how far do we go? In Leeds, the commonplace, when their application for an alcohol licence, they had to hand over all the names of all the kind of collective members again to the council. So, you know, there are disadvantages with having a legal one, and there's advantages. But I think it's wrong to see it as an either or. I think, you know, ideally we should be doing both.
I think just a small comment on that, which is just the advantage of the fact that there are a number of social centres that have been through that, and there's, you know, a real value in the social centres network and organisations like Radical Roots, where it's possible to learn from other people's experience and learn, you know, ways of alleviating some of those problems, and again to be able to foresee some of the things and make the decisions before it's, you know, forced upon you, and realise some of the consequences of what some of those decisions might be, because you can see what they have been in other spaces.
Yeah. I think I would just say as well that you know, I think it's like you consider what it is you're trying to do, and you know, we want to set something up long term that's going to really kind of, you know, be here in quite some time, and it's a real pain in the ass that we have to go through all those legal hurdles and jump through those hoops, but it's like, I don't know, unfortunately it's something that we have to do at this stage, and you know, it's not ideal, but you know, it's part of it's part of what we need to do. We're just going to have to deal with that to an extent.
Yeah, just another response to that. Like, if you look at some social centres like Sumac and Nottingham, and you look at how like vibrant they are now. And yes, of course, it took lots of work to get that started, but now that it's going, it's like a resource. It's a resource for more projects to spawn off from that. So from that, you also get more housing co-ops opening up. You get more, you know, like workers co-ops, like veggies sort of coming out of Sumac. So I think that's a real argument for having a permanent space, like, just there, and well, knowing that it's yours and that it can't be just taken away from you after all the hard work. Yeah, I totally see where you're coming from. But I think, yeah, there's definitely an argument for something permanent.
Anyone had any other experiences of different social centres, maybe from sort of town or city, actually from themselves? Or anything anyone wants to say about that?
Yeah,
does anyone be involved in any squatting projects?
I haven't actually been involved with this, but I know that there's been a, down in Bristol, there's an enormous warehouse which is just completely derelict, and some people have decided to squat that warehouse. They're completely renovating the inside. They're like, it's huge. It's like, there's so much potential in there. It's like three floors, and it takes up like 30 metres long or something. And already there's stuff going on, like people are building it, people are redecorating, like some people were living there when I went to visit. I went about a month ago or so, but they've got plans to like have it up and running by the summer. I mean, that's a good example of how squatting can work, like if you've got the right conditions, like, and you know, you haven't got the threat of being kicked out, which they hadn't when I was there, then yeah, I mean, it can go really well. And like, yeah, the same for Cabelli, which is also, Bristol's got a social centre established called Cabelli, and that's not a squat. So like that's, yeah, it just goes to show that it can work both ways. But I mean, it's open to debate which one is best in Czechia, I think. It was just literally they squatted it like a week or 2 weeks before I went. So it was very much in the planning and the making. People were living in it just because, you know, as a resource, somewhere to stay. But there were people actually building, we're gonna fill in these rafters. We're gonna let neaten the place up a bit, make it safe so the kids can come in. They had plans to paint it, they had a kitchen, and it was just, yeah, I mean, it sounds like such a great plan, and they said, yeah, once we've got it, all the rubble cleared, because there was quite a bit of rubble, then, you know, it's going to look really good, and so I'm hoping to go back in the summer and see how it's progressing.
It'll be a combination of funding, which will make it, you know, more stable as well. But it will be likely that we would need to get some commercial funding from, like, a regular bank, plus a loan from Medical Roots, and then we can have like loan stock, so individuals loaning money as well, and ideally with some initial start-up capital as well. So those are the kind of things that we're needing to look into. You know, obviously the practicalities of that, and part of that is why it takes such a long time. And because of the kind of bureaucratic mundanity of it is another reason why there's a need to be doing other things as well, and you know, to keep the kind of the vibrancy of the project going, because, you know, as has been said, places like Sumac are all very well and vibrant when they're up and running, but they're, you know, quite energy sapping until they get to that point of being able to then kind of, you know, contribute back and revitalise people.
I think there's some merit as well, probably, to because you've got to get a loan from commercial organisations, like, it's quite hard to get around that, then just making your project seem like really positive, because at the end of the day, it is a community project, and okay, it's got its sort of radical element, but it's also got the side of it which is, you know, good, like getting everyone together. And like, I think a few people would argue the fact that, like, that's a good thing. Like, in our society now, people are very separated, and we need a space where people can come and like socialise and talk and just like, yeah, recharge, like Becky was saying before. So I think, like, if you market it like that, then it's going to be really possible to get those for this project and get it up and running, and then from that it can spread off into something more, perhaps more sort of radical territory. But the centre of it is that it's a social centre, so yeah, it should be. It's been done before, like getting the money, and it can be done again, I'm sure. So
maybe we could just have a quick go round of you know, the motivation for coming to this meeting. Like, is it because you passed through one of the social centres in Sheffield, or you've been inspired by social centres in other cities or even other countries? You know, like, social centres on mainland Europe tend to be long-term, pretty well organised spaces that you know, are very, very inspiring from these islands. So maybe we just do a quick go round and say, like, what's motivated people to come here, and is it like a desire to see a social centre open in Sheffield, or is it a concern that one might open in Sheffield, or is it, you know, so can I get you to start?
Yeah, I've been to briefly to the two Sheffield ones, so until the very briefly, like the one very noisy evening. And I've been to the Leeds Common Place a couple of times. Good idea. I might come on into the meeting and like to see it happen.
Yeah, I went to the two that you had on the Monday, and went to the house and went to the silver pleasure and really liked all of it. It was really good. And then I've been kind of taking quite interested in some of the things happening in the cities. So I guess I really liked that.
Think you might be able to get involved?
Yeah, I think definitely it should be. Because, I mean, I was planning to get involved, but I hadn't really thought about the actual kind of planning process of getting involved, and more just like getting involved in things and picking up a bit more, but I definitely
want to get involved. Yeah, and same story for me, really. I mean, I just kind of caught the tail end of Matilda, and I've never really seen anything like it. It's literally when I first moved to Sheffield to live in the countryside for the whole life of so, yeah, if we get something like that going, especially if it's a gay animal development basis, because the precariousness of it is always like a bit of a downer, because you haven't got the security. It sounds like a pretty positive development to try and think of a way of something more concrete and long term.
Thank you.
I just wanted to hear more about I'm not from around here anyway, so get involved in discussion.
Yeah, pretty much the same here. I've read some of the stuff about the ones you said about Europe. I'd read about some of the one in Leeds. I heard about that. I haven't really had any experience of it myself, but I just thought I'd come along and see what everyone had to say.
I went to both here's my house and the road on the roof here. And it's just like Sandra was saying, I go there, like number one countryside, and I just did my first year at UV Sheffield. It's just like good to see some like going on, like something people actually doing something is sort of dive head first into sort of squatting and actually it's my first experience. Really interesting.
Yeah, I'm generally very interested. I live in Lincoln, but I work in the university, and some of us in the university are interested in seeing how the university could be used more by the local community, not strictly as a social centre. I think as you're thinking about it, it's totally independent, but universities stand empty 75% of the time, and universities also have an obligation to extend themselves to the local community in some way. So we're trying to start to think about ways in which local communities could make better use of university space when it's not being used for basic timetable needs. So I was just interested in coming here today just to get a sense of what people around social centres are trying to do, just to know a bit.
I've kind of been involved like since the Piscar House stuff happened, I've just got really interested in the whole philosophy of social centres, and I think that like there's a lot of like energy and enthusiasm still there. It's just got to be tapped into. I've been only involved quite recently, but I'm really excited about.
I guess St. Matilda's quite inspiring, interested about possibly a possibility of this. So I've seen quite a lot of social issues around, I guess, around the world. Excited about possibility again in Sheffield.
Excited enough to be involved?
I was involved with we had a hack lab at Matilda where we kind of just got loads of old computers and set them up and did stuff like that, and I'm quite keen on us getting somewhere in Sheffield where we could set that up again, because when you've only got somewhere for a week or a few days, it's really difficult to kind of set up much in the way of kind of infrastructure I think it's a very exciting project, and you know, looking forward to it when it gets to the stage of looking at buildings.
It might sound silly, but have you thought of just advertising for some kind landowner who might be sympathetic to your views to talk to them about? I don't know. For the cost of just trying to advertise and see if there are people, you know, there are rich people that might actually be sympathetic to trying to, you know, hand over a bit of property, whether it's long-term lease or some kind of loan or something. You know, I don't think it's out of question that there might be people, you know, for the sake of just trying to advertise. Mm. Well, that's one of the first things I would do anyway, is see if anyone wants to be generous first, rather than struggling from scratch.
It's interesting you say that, because I'm not sure which ones specifically, but some social centres in the UK, some of them were kind of founded with loans from individuals, weren't they? Or not even loans, like grants kind of thing, weren't they? Like some rich people were sympathetic and just kind of put some grants for those projects. I mean, like, on a more kind of ideological level, I mean, you know, whether you can be ideological in a kind of practical sense, maybe you can't, but I don't like the idea so much of some benefactor kind of giving us that. But
no, but then if you're also forced to get the banks, you know, which is the lesser of two evils.
Well, that's the thing, one way or another you are kind of dealing with the system, you know, whatever that is.
I mean, it's also how the organisation's legally set up. If it's legally set up as a co-op, then people will have like one vote, or it might be, we'll probably have consensus decision making, but everyone will have the same amount of say as anyone else. Whether you invest a pound or whether you invest 20 grand, you'll have the same kind of say in the running of the organisation. Plus, there are, depending on what kind of cooperative model is chosen, there are models that can be used where investors don't have a say in the running of the organisation. So you could potentially have a cooperative model set up where it's only the users that actually decide on how things work on a day-to-day basis. And if there are any investors, they don't actually have a say in how it works on a day-to-day basis. And that kind of gets round the worry of having people with large amounts of money having a big influence on the project. You could actually design the rules in a way that they don't.
I think if we were to approach any kind of like a sort of benefactor or investor, I think we would have to be on the model you're talking about. Yeah. You know, if anything, just because it's kind of like fitting in with the idea of non-hierarchy, then you know, you're not going to have like some people who have more say because they're wealthier. You know. So, yeah, I mean, so, yeah.
It's the the rules in the latest version of the Radical Roots booklet on social sectors that's available on one of the stalls out there, kind of the one in the far right-hand corner, and it's a copy of it here. the copy of the rules that has in it, the Somerset Cooperative have sponsored, are for a multiple stakeholder structure whereby you can actually have kind of different stakeholders in the organisation having different amounts of say in the organisation or no say at all. So you can have investors that don't have votes, and you can potentially set it up so that, say, if you have employees, workers, they have a 50% say in the running organisation. So I don't know whether we will be having that, but if it means you can set up a cooperative that's like a hybrid between a workers' co-op and a users' co-op type thing, and there are all sorts of interesting ways this can be done, and it's kind of developing quite fast as there's more and more kind of things like this being set up around the country.
Surely you'd be against the whole thing.
Well, you say that, but some social centres do have employees. And it is, you know, it is obviously one of the issues that comes up, and one of the political discussions to be had is how you want to operate and whether that is felt to, you know, be consistent with the politics of the place. I mean, there's a notion of workers' co-op where you have, you know, paid workers, and you can have that kind of setup, or whether, you know, some social centres, you know, take the view that the inherent hierarchies within that, within having paid staff and then volunteers, is a route they don't want to go down. Not to mention the practical issue of financing the wages. You know, that's also a consideration. But those are political discussions that need to be had within the space. You know, those are things that come up. I mean, I think that's a good point, that, you know, you need to have the flexibility and the openness to deal with things as they come up, as issues arise.
I think that kind of issue depends on if you end up with a building in the city centre that you want to run a cafe in or a bar in, and it's potentially going to be an awful lot of work for people running the bar and running the cafe. And if you're completely dependent on volunteers, you know, it's a difficult issue. It kind of depends. Yeah. There's pros and cons to doing it either way, isn't there?
Surely you want to avoid the situation where you're basically just running a business, you know, to finance your supposedly anti-capitalist social sector.
Absolutely.
But surely once you reach that point, it's just really
I mean, those are the issues that come up about, you know, the point I was trying to make earlier about, you know, the difficulties of trying to be alternative within the system. You know, it's like you can only be so far. It's like if you are going to engage in property relations at all, then there will be compromises along the way. And, you know, and it's and every collective will have to discuss what level of compromises they want to make. Definitely.
Clearly you have to work within the existing system to some extent. You can't just run away. But I think the point at which you start having people working for you, to me, is just got to be that would be my thing.
I simply, you know, I kind of feel similar, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, you wouldn't be treading completely new ground, because the system, seeing what you're talking about, is a voluntary organisation. Voluntary community sector in this country is massive. Every volunteer, nearly all of them, have workers and volunteers, and there's obviously conflicts along the way, but it's a path that is recognised. You know, it's a status that's recognised, and you get a lot of help from something like in Sheffield, Voluntary Action Sheffield. All the rules and regulations, all the constitutions, you know, you wouldn't have to be like inventing the wheel.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that's true, and sorry, I'm trying to pick up. I'm sure that's true, and I'm sure these voluntary community organisations do a lot of good work. But that's a different thing, I think, from trying to set up a social centre with an anti-capitalist focus. So a community organisation that's just a charity, basically, that's trying to help people in the community is one thing. A social centre that's trying to sort of have some sort of revolutionary or anti-capitalist politics is sort of a different kettle of fish.
which is why some people are opposed to the concept of buying a building, and you know, and say that the only, you know, only anti-capitalist way is to deal with property relations head on and squat, you know, empty spaces, which is like in itself a political act of exposing, you know, the madness of, you know, people being homeless while there are empty properties that people could live in, and the system that, you know, that runs on profit, and it's like it's dealing with that head on if you're squatting.
But I think that there's one thing which is just buying property, and that's one level of involvement, I guess, in what exists. And then there's another thing which is actually employing people and running a business in that property, which I think is a whole different level of what you're doing. Like, we all have to own property of some sort in order to just get by. Even if it's just buying food or paying for services or whatever. But like, we don't all have to be businessmen or capitalists.
I think you can distinguish between business and work. And the social centres don't necessarily have to be, or to understand themselves, businesses. But they, you know, they are people working for themselves, for themselves as a collective. There are other, well, as you say, workers cooperatives, self-employed people, some businesses, but effectively they're just working for themselves.
Well, they're working for a wage, or for, if they're self-employed, for the money that their job brings. That's not quite the same thing as working for yourself or working for a
Well, I it would be difficult to get by without working for a wage in some form.
Well, of course it would be difficult, but there's a difference, I think, between working for a wage, which most of us have to do somewhere else, and employing people. The crucial distinction here.
It's not the way I understood workers' cooperative would work, but you're not actually employing people to work for you.
You are your own boss.
You are your own
but
boss.
But even then, you know, it's still basically, if like you said, you had a cafe or a bar in the social centre, it exists as a business in order to make a profit, which then goes to fund the social centre. I'd just raise the issue that there are real problems with using that sort of we're trying to fund a social centre in that way. It just seems like
I think in some respects though, I think there's an element of compromise, because if you could have a long lasting and like well established social centre being financed, as it were, by a cafe of some kind that wasn't profiteering, that was just simply allowing the social centre to keep running, if you balance the kind of ideological conflict with the amount of good that social centre could do, I think you have to assess whether by putting aside some elements of ideology and kind of working towards a longer end goal, what doing more good over a longer period of time rather than taking an ideological stand immediately, whether that creates a better sort of end result than otherwise not.
Have a cafe or something to make profit, won't you require us to make a profit for as well? Behaving a different way, just take out the selling center apps.
Can I just say that there are expenses in operating a social centre, and so there is a need to generate income, and there's a need to not just for say like a cafe, if it was going to be income generating, then it wouldn't just, you know, cover its own cost, but it would create a surplus, which is different to profit. And then, you know, it's a political decision as to what happens with the surplus, and that's something that, you know, again, the collective would make a decision on. And just to be really clear, I think you're raising a very, very valid political point. And to be very clear, before anyone misconstrues, the Sheffield Social Centre has not made any decision about having employees at all, and there's a lot of sympathy within the collective for your point of view. My only point was that it's one of the considerations that has to be made. There is absolutely no decision to have employees, absolutely none, and quite a lot of opposition and resistance to that idea for exactly the reasons that you've said. You know, there are levels of compromise that are required, and becoming an employer is not necessarily one of them, or even setting up as a workers' co-op, you know, that none of those decisions have been made.
What stage are we at? Well, something that we've just done is we're sending a couple of people to the Radical Roots gathering in Scotland, which is happening now, I think, actually, isn't it? And to kind of formally associate with them as members, as a member group. Not as a full member association, it's like a first step towards becoming a member, I think. That's obviously kind of looking a bit further ahead to getting a loan from them, from that group, and also like getting involved in that group offers a lot in the way of just like advice that group can give you, resources, things like that. So that's something that we're doing right now. In terms of like.
Well, in terms of the stage, I think the decision has been made to definitely, you know, we're not irreversibly committed, but definitely to pursue the idea of buying a building.
Yeah.
And as has been said, along the way to do other shorter term projects as well. So there are kind of like a number of different things that are being moved forward. So in terms of like what will be happening at the meeting on Monday, it will be looking at the progress of the long-term goal, but also some shorter-term projects that are going to be happening over the next few months. So like one of the ideas is, you know, is to do a weekend free school, and then, you know, other kind of like almost certainly in a squat. But you know, there are other ideas as well along the way.
Yeah, well.
I was saying in terms of actually where it's going to be, like, that's something which is still being like explored, because like we're sort of always open to new suggestions, and if anyone picks up the lead, like hears about the building which is empty or something, then we're always like listening to that, because obviously that's the first step, is finding the right place. So yeah, like that's partly on Monday, I guess we're gonna like start talking about like looking at buildings, because that's an ongoing process, and like something which like if anyone, yeah, like anyone in Sheffield who's interested has some idea, has can see a potential building, then that would be totally welcome as a suggestion as a starting point. So.
Yeah, we also trying to get more people involved, because we need more people, so if anyone can, it'd be really great to have you on board.
If you know anyone else like you who also might be interested in the philosophy of it, or has been involved before, then it's totally open to anyone. Like, that's the whole idea of it, is like it doesn't have borders, it doesn't have barriers, and it could be anything people want it to be. So
I think, like, more than anything, the thing that kind of keeps me like with this project now, like having experienced the kind of squat at social centres back in October, and you know, having had like similar experiences as well, like being involved in like occupations and things, like I think just like you catch a kind of glimpse of what our ideas are about, really, and just, you know, that just makes it so fucking exciting, you know. You see it in practice, and it's like, yeah, we could broaden this out to like wider society. This is amazing. You know, just like kind of operating on consensus and having your own space and doing things your own way, you know, which 99% of the time you don't get to do in our society. So on that basis alone, it's a really exciting thing to be involved in, I think. And just as well, so in terms of like getting involved in a group, you know, we don't just sit around discussing all the time. We do have fun as well. We get together for socials and things, and we're intending to do that more kind of often. So, you know, the people involved are really nice, you know, nice group of people. So get involved.
So yeah, just to restate then, the meeting is this Monday at 7 o'clock in the Rutland, in the room upstairs. But also there is there's a website, which is probably the best way to be in touch. If you can't come to the meeting, then meetings are put up on the website, and there's an email address there for contact, which is just info@socialcentre.org. Yeah, does anyone want to make any final comments before we finish?
Great. Okay then.
Thanks for coming along.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Yeah, hopefully see you soon.